Today's April 12th. The Bucks split the series with the Tigers. Not without some drama in the end. But hey, it's Friday. Let's talk some baseball. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Yinz guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh, and I'm joined as always by my brother Jake. What's up, Jake?
What's up, Jake?
What's up, Jake?
What's up, Jake?
Hey, man, what's going on?
What a day. You know, it's a late night for us here, Thursday night. I usually don't go for soda late night, but we've got the Henry Weiner. It's just feeling it, Jake. Yeah, you're a lot of Mountain Dew for the podcast.
Pretty consistent with that, yeah.
That's your, you know, caffeine. All the time or podcast drink?
I mean, driving and podcast.
Okay.
Dinner. I do a lot of Mountain Dew. I'm going to try to get my life together starting next week, so we'll see what happens.
Dinner, lunch, little afternoon snack. First thing I do when I wake up in the morning.
I don't do coffee. I do Mountain Dew. No,
I do Monster Energy. So
I do all water most of the day, and then in the evenings is usually when I drink soda.
I got you. Basoda.
Can fit a 6-pack of soda in there.
Series split with the Tigers. We're going to talk about those. It is our Friday episode, first one of the season.
Real quick,
yeah.
Did you catch the eclipse?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What did you think? Real quick.
Yeah. I mean, Keely liked it, I was in. Yeah. Well, but you weren't in there, right? We were in totality.
We were in, like, there was a 97%.
Really?
Yeah.
Where were you?
Logan, Ohio.
Oh, no, that's right. You were still up here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were there. I guess it was, I see, yeah. It was a little bit over, wasn't it? I totally forgot that, like, you were still up here.
Yeah.
I was like, it was in Waco, Texas. You ain't anywhere near there.
No, they couldn't even see it down here. It was so cloudy that day.
Oh, yeah.
And it was only like a 70%.
Yeah, you know, I just wasn't expecting it. I kind of forgot about it. But I did get it, like, a cool shot.
My phone would not take good pictures. Yeah, that's cool.
So it was pretty cool. Zoomed in. Yeah. And then, of course, I posted that you saw the post with the Eaton Park cookie.
Yeah. That was good.
Katie thought of that one. We ran with it a little bit, just went out and did the Eaton Park cookie. We were like, well, that's pretty funny. Pittsburgh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's do that. So, I told everybody, so because you were out camping and at the cabin and all that stuff, I told everybody about me getting Uncle Sam's too.
Yeah.
You know, got my rounds. Awesome. Anyway, Friday episodes are back. Get you guys some weekend Pirates talk, as if there's not enough of it out there. But there's not any of us, so let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be here as much as I can on these ones.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're gonna figure it out. Whatever you can be here for, and we'll rock and roll. We're going to keep these ones a little bit shorter. We said that last year, and then we recorded every one of them over 50 minutes. So we're going to try to
actually try this.
We're going to try this this year. We're going to try to keep these ones a little bit short. If we run out of time on this one and you feel like you want to hear more, go back and listen to Mondays.
Yeah.
It's really not, you know, that irrelevant. We try not to talk specifically about the games, but about the situations. And so we're going to keep doing that. There's a lot of places you can get game recaps. You know, we're going to talk some baseball. Listen, this has been a fun day for me earlier today. I was on the fan forum with Gary and Jim. So if you guys didn't get to hear that live, go check out the Pirates fan forum. If you're Twitter, I retweeted everything. If you don't know where to get it, I think it's pretty much out there. Just look it up. Pirates Fan Forum. Had a great time. I always like talking baseball with those guys. And so it's pretty fun. But here we are, second one of the day.
Yeah.
And in between, the Pirates lost the baseball game. So we're going to talk about that game, even though it's not the Tigers series, even though we're in the Phillies. We're going to kind of talk about the Phillies series a little bit too. So a lot to talk about in just a very little amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was some drama this week. And I mean, let's get right into it. But the first thing I want to talk about, we'll go in chronological order, I guess, in a sense. But Mitch Keller, I talked about it on Sunday, about another bad start, and basically said he's going to throw Monday. Let's see what the start looks like. I'm not worried yet. And I believe I said, and you can check the audio, I believe I said, if he comes out and he throws well against Detroit, I just need to see one more. And I'm saying, let's just forget about the first ones.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I'm saying? I want to see back-to-back good starts. He's going to start Sunday against Philly. So we're going to see, you know, he did very well, right? 9 strikeouts, did very well. So all good signs from the Mitch Keller front. He lowered the cutter usage, which is everybody was talking about, like all the cutter. He lowered the cutter usage. He got better results. Overall, good start for Mitch Keller. Good bounce back start. Get him going. If we can get Keller going, the way that Jones is going, and we'll talk a little bit about that again. And then Skeens comes up. Like, guys, you've got a dangerous, rotation a little bit. Hey, let's not even sleep on Martin Perez.
Right.
And we'll talk about his start here in a minute. But let's not sleep on him right now. It's effective.
Yeah.
Reynolds hit his 100th homer. Was that Monday or Tuesday? I don't know. 100th.
It was Monday because I think mom and dad were at that game.
Okay. 100 career homers. You know what I mean? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Congrats to you.
They talked to him on MLB Network. And of course, you got the brown. Yeah, I was happy to get it out of the way. It was great.
I'm really excited. If you couldn't tell. Chapman, big moment Monday night. Bases loaded, one out, Mo's 2 guys down, basically makes that poor kid making his major league debut not want to play major league baseball anymore. It's like, this is my first major league game and I have to face Aroldis Chapman. And then after he embarrasses you, I don't want to say embarrass, he just struck him out, right?
Right.
After he strikes you out, he stares you down. And he's probably like, he looks back at him and he's just probably thinking, you can imagine the things running through his head like, yeah, I mean, I didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
It seems like there is that kind of feedback from these guys when they're facing Chapman right now, like Jazz and Tim Anderson, who actually smiled about it. But this kid was just like, he's like, dude, I'm just trying to stay here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But no, it was a big moment. And I think probably one of those things where you had a lot of people really on the Aroldis Chapman train going into the next night.
Yeah.
What was the story of game 2? Eddie Olivares, 2 home runs. No. How about Martin Perez? Gem. 8 innings, got to 100 pitches. Jake, I know you're old school as I am. Did you want him going out for the ninth?
I was driving.
So I don't mean that. But
that
right
game.
Now, do you?
So for me, it's a lot of looks. It's a lot of
all
visuals.
Right. That's fair.
And so I can't really make a call by looking at paper.
I understand. I was like, dude, I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, it's for me, a lot of it would be, what's he look like?
He looked fine, know. Right? He had his command. He was throwing all the stuff. Everything was good. But he got to 100 pitches.
Mm-hmm. Early in the year.
Early in the year.
He didn't have a shutout. He didn't have a no-hitter.
And I think even this early in the year, he's gone, even if he has a shutout, to be honest with you. And we're going back in time a little bit. We're going to try to not use hindsight. Mm-hmm. We know what happened in the ninth inning. We're going to talk about that. Right now, I want to talk about Martin Perez because there is a conversation about whether or not he should have just gone out there. I think that conversation mostly happens because of what happened in the ninth.
Yeah,
I think if that's a 1-2-3 inning, we win 3-1 and everybody's happy, we don't even talk about it.
Right.
I think it's just a thing. And I think in hindsight, when you look back at that scenario, that situation, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, we've got an elite closer. Let's get this thing out of here. Let's take a day off. We're done. Apparently, Chapman, from pitching 2 days in a row, was not available either way. For those of you who already weren't believing in David Bednar, we talked about David Bednar's last blown save. Three blown saves is three blown saves as we move into that, right? I guess.
Right.
Well, to finish the thing about Martin Perez, I think it's a fair discussion to have. I really do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, what was it? What did he throw? Four pitches in the eighth inning? Something crazy, right? It was like some, I don't know if it's actually four, but he didn't throw a lot of pitches in the eighth inning. Okay? I'm actually going back to it so I can look at it. Because for me, it's worth it. So I'm going to go back to his eighth inning. I got to scroll past the ninth first.
Might take a minute.
Yeah. Okay, that's us. Here we go. Javi Baez, one pitch flyout to Sawinski. And then Jake Rogers. Okay, so he had a six pitch at bat. So you got seven pitches. Oh, and then you had a single, three more, and then you had three more. So like he got his way up there, and it was a flyout, a single, a ground out. Exit velocity 92. I guess I should even look at that. Was a hard hit. So the flyout to Jack Sawinski was hit 97.5 miles an hour. The single was hit 92. The other fly ball was 92. And the can of flyout was at 93. They hit the ball kind of hard off of it.
Yeah.
It's still a fair argument. You want to see your guys go out there and finish the game. I just think you go to Bednar. You close it down. Now, let's go to Bednar now. Because the outing before that, you look back at the game and you watch his outing, and I think it was just the one before that. He gave up the home run to blow the save.
Yeah.
And it was a splitter up in the zone, not a good pitch, right? And it was a command problem. It was like generally the only pitch that didn't look fine.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the rest of his outing was strong.
Yeah.
And so I know it was a blown save, but we ended up winning, right? And and really, I didn't have that feeling like he's not there. Like it felt like he's still throwing spring training innings. He's going to miss a pitch every once in a while, but you generally should be able to get away with it. And it's like, that's unfortunate that he blew two saves this early. You hope it gets better from here, right?
Yeah.
And instead of getting better, I mean, it all just fell apart. He had no command on any of his pitches, it felt like, especially the curveball. Really bad.
Yeah, which he usually just, loops in for a strike whenever he wants.
Right. And Stephen Brault basically broke it down as soon as the game was over. Oh, his hands are too high. He's playing catch up the whole time. It just seemed like it was a mechanics thing. And that's all there is to it. I don't know if he's 100% right, but I mean, it checked out.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there like, well, geez, if he's figured it out already, then Oscar Marin, Gary said on the show, I like the way he said it. He was sitting in the dugout. Like he already knew it. You know what I'm saying? Like the pitching coach is already sitting there antsy saying, we got to fix this. Like I'm sure he already knew what he was doing.
Sure.
I buy that, right? I know that they were and I said the same thing on the show earlier today. Do I go with Bednar moving on? It all depends on what happened from the time that game was over through that off day. If they felt like they understand why, then put in the work and fix it. If it is a mechanics issue, right? Then just fix it. If it's just, I'm not sharp yet, I feel like that would be a reason to say, maybe we're going to check our scenarios and we might use Chapman in certain scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And like dealing with mechanical things, they're usually not that difficult to fix, especially for somebody who's a major league pitcher. Like you're going to say
an elite one.
Yeah. Elite at that. You're right. And you're going to basically tell him, this is what's going on. Cool. I don't care where these next few pitches go. I'm just going to think about that aspect of the mechanic.
Like in a bullpen.
Like in a bullpen. Yeah, yes, not, yes. Not in a game. Yeah. Not in a game. No way.
Just wanted to
no
clarify. Way. Just wanted to clarify that.
You give him a couple days off, unavailable for 2-3 days, whatever. That way he can throw a couple good bullpens where he can go max effort.
You had a built-in day off already.
Right, right. And then, you know, he works on that for, say, 10 pitches. Just that alone, like, just thinks about that. And then he's like, okay. And they're like, all right, that looks a lot better. I'll throw your pitches. And it should be that quick, and he doesn't really have to think about it anymore.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And then it just, then he starts just throwing.
Mm.
Pitchers are weird, man.
So, you know, if that's all it is, Shelton said before the game today, if we're in a situation, I wouldn't feel nervous to go with Bednar. Showing confidence in your guy, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with it, even though on Tuesday, in the heat of the moment, I said I'd go with Chapman for a week and work Bednar back into his role. But at just as like the situation goes, the further you get away from it, the more you're like, dude, we really blew this thing. I understand it's 3 blown saves, and that's not crazy. This is the first one we've lost, but It's not crazy. You know what I'm saying? Especially when the last two were just like a couple pitches away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like a couple bad pitches. And in this one, just it's like it all caught up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you see that a lot in spring training. The third, fourth time out, something just goes completely wrong. And you almost need that to happen in spring training, or else You can't feel like you can go into the season feeling right. You have to have something go wrong.
Well, and it's just like those first two blown saves. It wasn't a lot going wrong. You don't really know what you need to fix. I just missed a pitch.
Yeah, I missed a pitch.
I just missed a pitch.
My splitter went up. That can happen at any time. And how many times are they going to capitalize? Like they could have, in any other game, had he just fouled that splitter back and then got, oh, I missed one, which happens all the time. And then he just dials it in and none of that ever happens. And I'm not like, I want to be clear. Like I didn't come in here to try to make excuses. I'm just like, I'm analyzing this from further away than the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Right. Now let's go to the heat of the moment. We're not going to talk long about this, 'cause I don't think you and I both have a lot. The Boo Birds come out. You're at the game. It's late. It's the ninth inning. Not late in the day, obviously, because this was an early game.
Yeah.
But you've been there for a while. The Pirates got this thing in the bag. We're going to get a sweep. They're playing, like, they're winning games. Be careful with that, because I don't think they're playing all that well. But they're winning games. We're doing, you know, the team's going good. We think we've got the makings of something that might actually have a little bit more run than what last year had. You know what I'm saying? So like you feel like you're excited and all these things, and you're upset at the fact that he's just non-competitive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Boo Birds are going to come out, and I think, and I've talked to so many people on this, just trying to information, right? Even Ryan, my Phillies fan friend. I still disagree on some of those points. They legitimately think that booing helps. Philadelphia is just a rare breed. But the thing is like, it's in the moment, it's probably just not a big deal that they booed. I think when he comes off, there were some people making the argument they were booing Shelton. If they're booing Shelton, then when he goes and removes him from the game, you clap. You don't boo.
Right.
If you're saying, yeah, you finally got him out of the game. Good job. No, that's not what happened. But anyway, Rowdy Tellez comes out. He says what he says. And you can have problems with what he said or not. To me, I think he said it for David Bednar, not for me and you.
Right.
I think he was just saying, I got your back. And if I say this, they don't ask you any questions about the booing because I said this. So if the media doesn't ask about the booing, then he can just talk about the pitching. And David Bednar, who obviously didn't ask him to do that, he appreciated the fact that his guy had him. However, Bednar was going to wear it the whole time.
Yeah.
He was going to wear it. I think it bothered him that it happened. Like, I think, you know, when he thinks back, I think it's going to bother him. But, no, I mean, I think he's going to wear it, though. I think it's bothered him more that he didn't pitch well.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the way I feel about it. I know what Rowdy said, and I know that prideful people are going to say, you're not a Pittsburgher, shut up. But that's your pride talking. He lives there now. He got hired by somebody there, and he moved there. In a sense. So mm-hmm. I don't really know how I feel about it. It doesn't matter to me. He's standing up for his teammate.
Right.
That's it. He's standing up for his teammate. He's just letting him know, we got your back. We're going to get you back on track. We believe in you. And I think I'm there for it. It's good leadership. It really wasn't meant for you. I mean, maybe there was some of it that was, but I don't really know.
Yeah.
To me, I thought to myself, Kutch and David Bednar are off limits. You don't boo those guys.
Yeah, and I think I hear a lot of comps about like the Trey Turner thing in Philly. And I just think it's just two opposite things.
Yeah, it's different.
That in order for the Pirate fan base to do that for Bednar, it's when he comes in the game, not when he's exiting the game. They didn't cheer for Trey Turner when he struck out.
No. I'll even go back to this, Jake. When did they do that? It wasn't the 10th game of the season.
No, it was a while.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're talking about into May or whatever.
Yeah.
Give him some time. This is a long season. I think it was a lot too early, and I want to move to the next part here because I really just don't want to dwell on it because I think that it's behind us.
I think
maybe
too.
If Rowdy doesn't say anything, I don't think it even gets the play that it got. I think everybody argues there's a day off and then we just play the Phillies and it's not a thing. You know what I mean? So anyway, this kind of a thing happened because your team is winning games.
Mm-hmm.
If we were 3-10, I just think that it's not a thing.
I don't know about that.
Or 5-5.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a thing. If it's five,
I think it is. If you're five and five and you've had three blown saves, I think it's more likely to happen because you could be better if you weren't blowing games.
Yeah, but you expect it. If this is the 2021 Pirates, you're sitting there saying, yeah, I mean, we knew what this was going to be anyway.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you had the games won with an all-star closer.
Well, if it was 2021, he hadn't made an all-star game yet.
That's not your point. That wasn't your point. You know that.
My point is, I think that if you're not winning, I don't think there's as much at stake. If you're not a good team.
I think there's more at stake because if you're not winning because this guy is blowing saves, you have.
Well, this was the first one they've lost because of it. So.
But that's what I'm saying. But if you're not winning games.
Oh, yeah.
They would have lost those two blown saves.
I don't think so.
You know what I'm saying?
I think it's not a thing. I think that because of the fact that you think you have a chance, that you have a problem with it. That's
fair.
And maybe some of those people, who are going to boo their hometown guy, maybe they're not even there.
I agree with what you're saying, but I don't. I agree with what you're saying about it being a big deal because we're winning, but I don't agree with the fact that you think it wouldn't be a big deal if we were losing, because I think if we were losing, it'd be because of these blown saves.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Anyway.
I tend to think that this wouldn't have been a big deal if we stunk. As big of a deal as it was, or as it is.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Because we're not going to agree on that.
All right. We're not going to agree on that one. Where was I going next then?
Phillies.
Just going right into Phillies?
I think we were done with the Tigers.
You're done with all that? Okay, so let's go into Philly. Jared Jones.
Dude, he's legit. He's legit.
So, again, gets a loss, but again, threw really well.
Yeah. I mean, I was just sitting there. I actually got a chance because I was supposed to have some BP session today, but got canceled. But so I was able to just sit on the couch and watch the game. And dude, he's real, man. He's real. It's not, oh, wait till he gets hit around a little bit and see how he reacts, because so far he's given up, what, 3 home runs? Yeah, I think 3 home runs. Four. Yes.
Two
in his last outing and then 2 in this game. And like, but all 4 home runs that were hit, he's come right back and got the next guy.
Yeah.
Like he don't back down. And it's 3 of the 4 home runs he's given up, solo shots.
Yep.
You ask any pitcher, as long as we're giving up solo shots, we have to score anyway. Solo shots don't kill you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously you don't want them to be a bunch, but you know, hey, just to bring it up, Dave Thomas on Twitter, he actually asked this question I tweeted out today, and he said, "What does Jones need to do to better limit the home run balls? Not sure this is answerable or not, but it seems like his only weakness right now." And I more like what you're saying is the home runs, the guys are going to hit them.
I mean, it's the game that's played now.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about Philly.
Mm-hmm. In Philly?
In Philly. But not only that, but I mean, Baltimore is a stacked lineup, won 100 mm-hmm. games last year. So he's had 2 tough outings. And really, I mean, look at the rest of it. I mean, this guy's just, he's got so much swing and miss.
Yeah, new record.
What's the number now?
58?
58. Did he get another 20? No, that would have been over 60. Because he had 20 in the first 2, and he had like 14 or 15 whiffs today. Right?
Yeah, he was at one point he was at 52, which tied it, and then he ended up adding like 6 more before his outing was over. So he was at the new record's 58 swing and misses through your first 3 games.
That's ridiculous.
He passed Steven Strasburg. Steven Strasburg had 52. I forget what the other guy whose name was actually at the top of the list only because he did it first. But, I mean, 56 more.
Wow.
And he's real, man.
Do you send him out there for the 7th?
That's tricky. That's tricky because I've noticed that, like, in all of his outings, it seems to be around, like, pitch 70 to 75. He starts to lose his command a little bit right now. So probably not.
Yeah.
Not against the Phillies. I think you take that into account as well.
No walks. 6 innings, 7 strikeouts, 1 run, no walk.
He's going right after guys. I mean, he gets to a 3-1 count, and he's like, oh, okay, I'll flip this slider in there. What? You have 98 in the bag. You're going to flip the slider in there. And they're like swinging over it like crazy. Like, because they're not expecting it. They're looking fastball, and it just drops.
Yeah, he's the real deal. I mean, it's you know, obviously unfortunate the game got away from him a little bit there. He ends up getting tagged for 3 runs. And then Colin Holderman comes in. And what do you want, man? First outing out there just doesn't go well, right?
I want him to catch the ball.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Take us through that sequence there, because it wasn't just Colin Holderman gave up a homer, but it wasn't just that, right? Only one of those runs is earned.
Yeah, he gave up a big... I mean, that ball's crushed. But anyway, the batter before that, it wasn't cheap. The batter before that hits the fly ball, and you got another outfield miscue. We have to get this under wraps. You got Eddie Olivares holding his arm up, trying to tell Taylor he's got it. But I don't know that I've seen his mouth move. I didn't look that closely either, but he's calling it. But yet he's drifting over very slowly.
That's why
Taylor's probably like, see what you did there. Taylor's probably like, I don't know if he's going to get there or not. He's barely moving. And he's sprinting over. they just it Oliveris just kind of knocks it down with his glove. He gets the error.
So if we look these two things up, we've got the one the last time Jared Jones started. We've got the one in center with Reynolds and Taylor. And now it seems like Oliveris was in right. Mm-hmm. So we've got another one where Taylor's going to his left. The common denominator is Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Is this on him? I mean, if Taylor's calling it, everybody else has to move. The problem I have with this is, like, did Taylor stop again?
Not, did they run not into like each other? Did. Not like they kind of brushed up against each other.
Would Taylor have caught the ball?
Taylor would have. Taylor could have caught the ball. I don't want to say would have, but Taylor definitely could have caught the ball. So could have Oliveris. But if Oliveris just, you know, doesn't go over by the ball because Taylor's calling it, Taylor catches it with ease.
My question is why is Taylor stopping? If Taylor is a center fielder and he's calling for the ball, then catch the ball. If somebody else gets in front of you or runs into you, it's their fault. And I'm going to say this. If the center fielder calls off the catcher moves. He has priority over everybody on the field. Mm-hmm. And we want to sit here and give Jack Suwinski a hard time because he won't call the ball when he's playing center field. Then we have to give the same exact criticism to Taylor for pulling off and not going and catching the ball. He can't an error that he threw away. He's just not played that well in center. And I know that the numbers say different, and I know that everybody wants to glorify his center field play, but these have all cost runs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And it's I know we were chatting before this, and you're like, second week of the season, we're not, you know, they need to play more. I get that, but they're also being paid to play. It's their job. They need to perform their job. 2 weeks in,
don't
you should have those
deep crap. Somebody's not going to do. You can't say that playing baseball, do your job, and the only way you do your job is if you succeed.
Communicate.
The hitter has a job too. So
yes,
I'm not saying any of that do your job stuff. I think it's
this is a communication issue. It's not a this is more of a mental issue than it is a physical. I'll take physical errors any day. You know that.
Yeah.
Physical errors happen. This is baseball. You know, part of your job is to get over the physical errors. The mental errors need to stop. Like this outfield communication needs nipped. Like we need to fix it now before it gets even worse. Like,
going in hard.
You can't keep giving up runs because you can't talk to each other.
Yeah.
I'm
there, but furthermore, I just want to say, like, the way you fix it is for the center fielder to catch the ball. He can't stop.
So he didn't stop on this one. He avoided a collision, but because Oliveris wouldn't stop and Oliveris cut in front of him, and then he kind of, once Oliveris cut in front of him is when he kind of, you know, avoided just smacking into each other. He just avoided the big hit. And, you know, I'm with you. Go catch the ball. And I get that. Yeah. But if I also don't want you just running in and getting hurt either.
No. Call the ball, catch the ball, let everybody else get out of your way.
Yeah.
And if they don't, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but if you are Michael Taylor, you don't know that because you're looking at the ball and you're planning on catching it. You don't need to look at him. If you're calling it, catch the ball.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. And so, you're saying it's a communication error, and I totally agree with you, and those kind of things, we just had a conversation about errors and defensive metrics, and this kind of stuff doesn't show up anywhere. It shows up as a double. You know what I'm saying? And it shouldn't.
Not this one. This one went in as an error against Oliveris.
Okay, yeah.
It was an E9.
Yep, you're right.
Because he hit it with his glove.
So
the one that it just dropped,
yeah,
that's not an error. Right.
The other two plays, the one in center field and the one with Suwinski and Alika, those go as hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because they didn't touch anybody's glove.
Right.
So the thing is specifically talking about Taylor. Mm-hmm. And like, this isn't my, like, hey, listen, I try to make sense out of everything. My goal in life is to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I did it at work today. It backfired on me. Okay. The point is, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. And so let's try to give, and I was a center fielder, so I'm a little more critical, just like you are about pitchers. And he wasn't even there for spring training hardly. Mm-hmm. They haven't worked together. You know what I'm saying? There is a little bit there that that is passable in April, in the first 2 weeks or so of the season, with you not having any time, right? My only thing is that if you're the center fielder and you're calling the ball, then catch it. When he stopped, and just to avoid running into Brian Reynolds, that's the problem. Like, yeah. Catch the ball. Catch the ball. You're going to be fine. Neither of those plays, I actually can't speak for the one today because I did miss it. The play with Reynolds and him would not have hit each other. They would not have ran into each other near as hard as Sawinski ran into the wall in left field.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're going to have to fix that.
And that wall didn't give as much as those human bodies would. So all I'm saying
is I'm surprised that wall didn't break.
When I'm watching the game, sure, Taylor glides after fly balls. It's fine. Anybody catches those fly balls. I just haven't seen a play he's made yet that I thought Sawinski wouldn't have made that play. Unless it was like Sawinski not calling the ball and pulling up and letting somebody else go after it. Because he does do that. He's too passive for center field, right? He needs to take command. And that's fair. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's a fair assessment of what Jack Sawinski does in center field and why you need a center fielder out there. And then we go get a guy who won a gold glove. And unfortunately, he does the same thing wrong.
Yeah.
Except he might be calling it and then stopping instead of catching it. So I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know. To me, it's just one of those things that it's frustrating because the fact that he has a track record means we write him off as we give him a pass. Those are both his fault. And the throw into the stands when Bednar was pitching didn't have to do that. It was a terrible throw. And you would even think, I'll even say this, you would even think that if anybody is going to stop that ball, it's Key Brian Hayes. That doesn't change the fact that it was a terrible throw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like you cost us the game. I mean, mm-hmm. not really, because he didn't hit and walk a guy and give up the hit. But you know what I'm saying? Like if I was in center field, I would have felt like that was my fault.
Right.
So I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of sloppy play, and I'm giving a lot of people a pass. And this isn't just the Pirates. I'm seeing it everywhere. I mean, we won a game because of half of an amazing play. The other half was sloppy. And the Orioles didn't play great defense that whole series either. And it's a lot of teams right now in April who, when the game speeds up, you have a hard time keeping up. I mean, the Yankees were the other team that was flirting to be the first team to 10 wins, and they had just as many errors as we did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's sloppy. But the fact that the Pirates haven't played a single clean game yet kind of makes you feel pretty good about them.
Yeah.
Just imagine how they do if they actually clean it up.
And there's no reason to think they won't.
Right. We had another question here, didn't we? Let's get out of here. This is an interesting one from Noah, and I'm not even sure why we're asking it, but I said ask questions. If you had to get rid of one for good out of Cruz, Reynolds, and Hayes, who are you getting rid of?
I mean, easy button's Cruz, right? I mean, the other two are locked up. The other two are basically finished products.
Now tell me how ridiculous it would be if they got rid of Cruz.
Right. Yeah, it'd be crazy.
It's a game, right? He's asking you to really answer it.
Yeah.
What would your actual answer be if...
I mean, it's Cruz. He's the only one that's not
proven. If it's... Oh, okay. That was a different... Okay. You went somewhere different. Yeah. I thought you were going to say the only one hasn't signed. Yeah.
The other two are proven products. They're almost finished products. Cruz has got a little bit of... I mean, of course, the potential's there, obviously. That's why I wouldn't get rid of him, but.
Right. I don't know. I guess I'd have to say, I don't know. You don't want to get rid of any of them. I guess if I'm picking one, it's Reynolds.
Really?
I like the ceiling, man.
It's fair.
there's no right answer. They're all wrong.
Oh, they're all, yeah.
They're all wrong. Let's swing the bat a little bit with two strikes tomorrow, rest of the weekend.
Yeah, let's swing the bat in general.
I didn't expect to be spicy tonight.
No. We average over 5 runs a game. We only score 1 tonight, or last night.
Yeah.
Let's hit the ball.
Let's hit the ball, get some wins.
We lose one more. That's called a losing streak. I don't want to see that.
Let's go, Bucks.
Let's go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge the number 2 Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. And let's go, Bucks.